time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by Chronicle columnist Leah Garchik and technical writer Kyra Pace. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's not too rainy out there, so settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're welcoming your participation. It's very, very important. We can take all the calls you can give us, hopefully, and I want you to start right now. So the numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or we have a toll-free number. Yes, we really do. And that is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, we don't read the emails today. We're just going to do the calls today. But we do read the emails, and that is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, at yahoo.com. So feel free to contact me at mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. I always enjoy hearing from our listeners with a comment or question or whatever. So mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be done reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes. And one of our listeners said there was an app that you could download that always had our show on it, but of course I forgot what it was. So maybe next week. Okay, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. Just we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever Kira brought in. So, female astronauts. And Kira, whose name is pronounced differently every single week, Kira Pace spent her rainy, hail-filled weekend recalousing her thumbs and working her way back through Super Mario 2, just like a grown-up. Couldn't you recalouse your thumb simply by playing Super Mario 2, or did I miss the point of that?
Well, I am doing both. I am, I'm doing both at the same time.
All right.
Leah Garchik spent the day looking out the window at the spectacular variety show that the weather put on, and she ordered up a wiretap on Donald Trump's phone.
Yeah, I thought maybe Obama's head expired. Our moderator, Dina Rodriguez, can't imagine anyone wanting to listen to Trump's conversation.
Oh, my God, I can't imagine. Oh, what a waste of time. All right. So, Kira, we were going to start with you.
All right. Now that we're finally through award season, I think, let's talk EGOTs. My first question for you is, who coined the term EGOT and what does it stand for?
Oh, the EGOT is the group of awards that particular people have won. So it's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar. I have to write this down now.
You're missing the Tony.
That's
Tony,
right, Tony,
right.
All right. And do you happen to know who coined that term?
Is it somebody who does have each one of those?
Somebody who has none of them. Aspired to have them.
Oh.
A household name.
I don't necessarily know I would go that far. He was a household name back in the 80s. He was on a very popular TV show, extraordinarily popular, stylish TV show. But he himself does not have any of those awards.
A stylish TV show.
Very stylish.
Was this person very stylish himself or themselves?
In the show, he certainly was. There are two main characters of the show. People patterned themselves after these two characters. Okay, but we can move on.
All right.
Like, someone will know. Who most recently missed out on EGOT completion when he lost to La La Land's City of Stars at the Oscars last week?
Oh, so all this person needed was an Oscar, and they had everything else.
Right, and he was up for Song, and he lost to La La Land's City of Stars.
How else would we know this person?
Oh, because he has the most popular Broadway show right now.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Lin-Manuel
Miranda.
That is correct, yes.
Right.
So he's got the E, the G, and the T, but he lost out on the Oscar.
Did you see Hamilton, Leah?
Mm.
Oh.
I'm hoping to see it.
Okay. I thought maybe you would.
A few weeks.
Yeah, because it's got... You're waiting until it came to San Francisco and you're going to see it then. Maybe.
No, I am going to see it.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, when we go to New York, you know, it's my homeland. And so people always say, oh, did you see the theater? We don't. We see friends and relatives. And
have you ever been to the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I just... we'll finish this off by saying that there are 12 people who've completed an EGOT. Can you name any of them?
Rita Moreno.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the first one we always think of.
Yes, yeah, she completed hers in 1977.
Right, and more will occur to me as I think along those
Secretariat.
Lines. Yeah. There you go. And Leah, why don't you go ahead too?
Okay, these are varieties of what substance? Evergreen, dry land, and mountain eye.
Is this a food substance? Can you tell us that?
Yeah.
All right. Once more.
Evergreen, dry land, and mountain eye are varieties of what?
You know, I was at a trivia event last night, and there was a list very much like this, counted as food and drink, and the answer ended up being strains of marijuana. So I seriously doubt that, but we got burned by it yesterday.
Mountain eye sounds like it, doesn't it? But it's not.
Yeah.
Nope.
Could it be wheat?
Nope.
And they're not grasses?
Nope.
Okay.
But it's edible?
Yep.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Vernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
And, my question is, Ray Milland won the Academy Award for Best Actor in what film directed by Billy Wilder?
That's too easy, Colette. You have to ask me a harder question. The Lost Weekend.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
And Billy Wilder.
Okay, you got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Colette.
Okay, bye.
All right, let me ask you a couple questions here. So I'm doing some reading about museums. I enjoy going to them, so I'll give you a couple of museums questions. What is the most visited museum in the world named after a living person?
A living person.
A living person.
Oh, Graceland. Oh, no.
No, it's it's an art museum.
A
real museum. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. You subscribe to the theory that Elvis is alive? Is that
yeah.
Is that it?
And in the house.
Right.
An art museum named after a living...
And it's one of the 20 most visited museums in the world.
Is it in Europe?
It is not in the United States, I'll tell you.
Not in the United States, yeah. Okay.
Oh.
So what is the most visited museum in the world that is named after a living person?
Can you tell us if it's named after an artist?
No, it is not.
Okay, so it's probably named after... it's in L.A. No, you said it's not in the United States.
No.
Sorry.
Mm-mm.
Oh, so it's not named after its contributor, like the Broad Museum in L.A.
Right. I was thinking the Getty or like somebody in the Getty thing.
Yeah,
perhaps,
there's a
but no.
But it's not.
Living Gettys, right. But it's named after an artist who's still alive.
No, I didn't say that.
Not an
artist. It's not an
artist.
Oh, it's not
Which
an
means
art.
It's either the donor or a politician, like named after royalty, named after.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that.
So, what is the most visited museum in the world that is named after a living person, and it is not in the United States? Now, second question is, what are the three most visited museums in the world that are named after artists?
The Picasso Museum in Paris?
That's one.
Van Gogh Museum?
That's two.
Okay.
Okay. So the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. Actually, Picasso Museum's in Barcelona. So, but there could be another one in Paris, but the big one is in Barcelona.
I can't imagine it's the Dali in St. Petersburg, Florida, is it?
No, but you know what? I'm going to give it to you because it's the Dali Museum in Spain.
Oh, okay.
So you got it. You got all of them. That's basically.
And it's not Dollywood. That's the
no. It's not Dollywood.
It's a museum named after a living person.
No. So once more, what is the most visited museum in the world named after a living person? And I'll give you one more. Since you answered that, I'll give you one more. What is the most popular word on tourist slogans in the world? No, I'm not talking about the and a. What is the most popular word in countries' tourist slogans in the world? One guess each.
Calm?
No, that's good. That's
sunny?
Good. No. So, in the tourist slogans of every country in the world, what is the single most popular word? And let's go to a call.
Yes.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi. Miami Vice for the 80s show?
Yes, but which one? Which one of them coined EGOT?
Oh, gosh. Crockett?
Nope. Tubbs did. Do you remember Tubbs'
name?
Oh,
the guy with three names.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Thank you much. You guys have a great day.
Philip Michael Hall.
Close. Philip Michael Thomas.
All right. There you go.
So it was a nice tag team effort.
All right. Good job.
How about isn't there a papal art museum in the Vatican?
Yeah, but it's not. It's just named after the...
It's just
It would have
general?
To be like a Pope Benedict or something art museum in order to qualify, because the Pope is a generic term. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, Steve, how are you?
Good.
I was surprised last few days ago Jeopardy had this question I asked you 5 years ago when Sheila and I were still together. Sheila left about 3 years ago, and I do miss her. She used to call you as well. All right, the question was what that was in Jeopardy, and by the way, none of the contestants, none of the three contestants were able to answer it.
Well, then this bodes well for us.
Yeah, go ahead. What was the question?
I think I asked you the question before. All right. What Camp David named after? It's very simple.
Camp David is named after Dwight D. Eisenhower's grandson. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
That's
then subsequent question was, one sec. Very good. Very good. Subsequent question, who named it before Eisenhower, and what was the name before it was called Camp David?
You guys know? It originally was named Franklin D. Roosevelt, and it was
right.
He called it Shangri-La.
That's it. That's it. All right. You did very well. So second question, and I'll be very brief. We discovered some very possibly livable planets like Earth in that very small dwarf star called TRAPPIST-1. Okay, so it's about 40 light year from Earth. The fastest spacecraft we have right now is called the New Horizon. How long would it take the New Horizon to travel to make it to one of the planets on the Star Trek? How long?
I'm going to turn this question over to our science editor, Kira Pace.
Okay, go ahead.
What?
Because you're closer to knowing how long a light year is than I am.
How long would it take? Yeah. One light year is about 6 trillion miles.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
So, with the speed of light, how long is it going to take?
Or would it take the fastest? I don't know how fast the fastest thing goes, or the New Horizon goes. I'm going to say.
Take a guess.
I'm going to
how
say 80,000 years.
Well, you're off by a factor of 9.
Wow.
Almost 700,000 years. Would you believe that?
700,000?
Yeah, close. Yeah, 678,000 years. For the fastest ship, we have to go to one of our nearest stars. That's how far. What if you drive your car down there, going 60 miles an hour, then stop. Let's say we have artificial road. We'll make it all the way to one of these planets. How long would it take you? In millions of years.
It wouldn't take me very long at all because I would turn around as soon as I couldn't get combos.
Okay, I'll give you just a really funny answer. Over 700 million years.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It's not the Broad Museum, is it?
No. No, where is that?
It's in L.A.
Oh, no, because it's not in the United States.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's not in the top, that's not in the top 20 or 30 most visited museums anyway, so.
Isn't there a Schwarzenegger museum in Graz?
Not yet.
That's not.
Maybe
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, I think there is, actually.
Is there?
Uh-huh.
But it's not an art museum.
No,
this is
an art museum.
So, again, it's a top 30 art museum most visited in the world, not in the U.S., named for a living person.
Who is not an artist.
Yes, and it is not only a top 30 museum. I think it's in the top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah. Most visited museums, yes.
All right. Unless it's a different Victoria and Albert than I thought.
Yeah, Victoria Tennant.
Yeah.
and Albert
Brooks. Albert Finney. Yeah.
And Akira, it's your turn.
Okie doke. Right. Although there is no official language of the United States of America as a whole, 31 states have made English their official language. Of these 31 states, two states include additional official languages. Which two states?
Well, is Hawaii one?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They include Hawaiian.
Of course.
Of course.
So there's only one more state?
Only one more. It used to be two, now it's one.
Is Alaska?
Is it a Native American?
Yep, it's Alaska.
Right.
Yeah,
they put
that makes sense.
20 indigenous languages and also English.
How did Sarah Palin ever let that happen?
It must have happened before her then. So there's no Native American language. When I'm talking about like the New Mexico and
no, actually, New Mexico used to be the third state that was bilingual, but it was Spanish, not any of the Native languages.
Okay.
But speaking, as we now are, of Native American languages, what is the most widely spoken Native American?
Navajo.
That is correct. 167,000 Native speakers. And then finally, according to the U.S. Census Bureau...
My apologies.
60 million Americans aged 5 and older speak a language other than English in their homes. What are this country's 10 most widely spoken non-English languages?
No, Spanish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is number one, 37.5 million native speakers.
Mandarin Cantonese.
Mm-hmm. The macro language of Chinese with 2.9 million native speakers.
Somewhere on that list should be Tagalog.
Yes, that is fourth. Sometimes it's third, sometimes it's fourth. On my list, it's fourth, 1.6 million speakers.
Vietnamese.
Vietnamese is fifth, 1.4 million.
What's third? Pig Latin doesn't count.
No. Not a lot of native Pig Latin speakers. That's a second language for sure.
Is the third concentrated in one area, or is it sort of broken? It's sort of spread around.
It's spread around.
Oh, Creole?
What kind of Creole specifically?
What kind?
Go for the big one.
I don't know
big one.
That there are kinds.
Cajun.
Just French and French Creole is
the
third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the combination.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
That's right, buddy.
So, is that done, or you need more?
There are still four more. Or wait.
Give the question once more.
Sure. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 60 million Americans aged 5 and older speak a language other than English in their homes. What are the country's 10 most widely spoken non-English languages? And we have Spanish, Chinese, French, and French Creole, Tagalog, and Vietnamese. We're looking, for five more.
All right.
I think Swedish?
No.
Not Swedish. I didn't mean to say Swedish. Isn't that odd? What I meant to say was Russian.
Yes, that is number 9, 879,000 speakers.
Isn't that weird?
There are a lot of Russian speakers in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. There are, yeah.
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
Good evening.
Good.
And just as you picked up the phone, my computer screen where I keep my questions just went dark on me. There we go. I got it back.
All right.
I got a couple of tries to some of your outstanding questions. On the EGOT winners.
Yes.
I've got a couple of guesses. I knew Moreno. She's the only one. She's the one I think everybody knows off the top of their head. How about Barbara Streisand?
No, she does not have the competitive EGOT. I think she has an honorary award.
So
she does not quite count.
And then I've got a couple of musicians who I wonder if they made them all. Leonard Bernstein?
Nope.
John Williams?
No.
Randy Newman?
No.
Okay, struck out. On the tourist slogan words.
Right.
How about love?
I just need one word. So, oh, yeah, but go ahead. You can guess a couple times.
I've got a couple of tries.
All right.
Love, stay, or fun?
None of them.
None of them. Okay. And on the languages, I was going to guess Russian. How about also, did someone say Portuguese?
No, nobody said Portuguese, but that is not. It's actually number 11. So
I'm having a bad night here. So my very last try would be Cambodian or Khmer.
No.
All right, I'm going to bed then. I give up on the bell. Let me ask you my question.
All right.
And it's coincidental that you started off with the EGOTs because my question was on the Tony Awards. I did a little research. Who was the first person to win two Tonys in each of the primary categories? And I've got them broken down. I think maybe I'll save some for next week and maybe even the week after because I got a bunch of them. But how about if we start with best actor and best actress in a play or a musical?
So you would have
to... four people.
You would have to break it down a little bit by decade, I think, because there's a lot to sort of think through here. How early would these be?
Well, it looks like they all start in about the... I mean, the Tonys themselves, I think, the list I had didn't start till the 40s.
Right, the late 40s, right.
And it didn't take too long for most of these. The best actor, best actress all happened... Well, one of them didn't happen till the 60s. The others, somebody got two of them before the 50s were over.
Do these people make movies as well?
They're all very, very well-known names.
Right. Okay.
So the best actor in a play, best actor in a musical, best actress in a play, and best actress in a musical.
In a musical. All right. I have to mull this over. Is Lee J. Cobb one?
No.
Okay.
I remember his name coming up. He must have been close.
Death of a Salesman, I was thinking.
What about Julie Andrews?
No.
That's good.
No.
Mary Martin.
Mary Martin was the first one to win two, Best Actress in a Musical.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. All right. We'll leave the other ones out, and then we'll let people guess. So can we put you on hold and you give the answers?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. And in the meantime, Leah, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Is Farsi one of the languages?
I think that's farther down the list. It's not.
Oh, okay. Okay. Luddites, we know what Luddites are. They resist technology, and it's named there. The term comes after Ned Ludd. What did he do?
I want to say it was in the 18th century. Maybe it was a little bit later. Didn't he organize a mob to break up machines that were something to do with destroying the... they were taking away jobs in agriculture, something like breaking up. He was breaking up some sort of agricultural machinery that was taking jobs away, but I don't know.
Well, you're partly right, but it's not agricultural machinery.
Oh, okay. All right. Is it... Okay. Is it something to do with weaving then, or cotton mill,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, give yourself a bell.
All right.
It smashed stocking knitting machines.
All right.
So let me ask something else.
All right.
Let me ask something else. Who said this about whom? Only two of them have talent. The rest are just unfriendly. Well-known person.
So you just want the person saying it, not who they were talking about?
Yes, who they were talking about.
Oh,
and
okay.
What person was. Yeah.
Are they talking about the Beatles?
No. No.
Are they talking about the Kardashians?
No.
That's a generational answer from both of us. If you ever heard one.
I would also say the Osmonds.
All right.
No. No, it's about a bigger group than that.
A bigger group. Oh. Probably not musical or artistic in any way.
I'll give you... No, that's wrong.
That's wrong. Okay.
All right. Okay. Would you repeat the question, Leah?
Only two of them have talent. The rest are just unfriendly.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm trying to understand the Massachusetts guy's thing on the actor. Was he a best actor and then a best musical actor?
Yeah, I think he was referring to who was the first person to win two best actors for musical, and then who two best actor Tonys for straight play. Right.
Okay, I won't go there.
All right.
So I'm going to try for these EGOT people.
All right.
Okay.
Ingrid Bergman?
No.
Liza Minnelli?
Should be, but no.
Marvin Hamlet?
Yes, 1995 completed his EGOT.
And my last attempt is Julie Andrews?
You'd think, but no.
Okay, well, at least I got a bell.
Good.
I can sleep well.
All right.
Nice job.
Thanks, cheers.
Thank you, Thomas. All right, so continuing a little bit in my museum questions, I'm going to give you... let's see. No, I'm not going to give that. I want you to tell me the five very, very famous paintings that have that are hardest to see. And when I say hardest to see, they have the largest crowds in front of them all the time.
Oh, the Mona Lisa, for instance.
Right, exactly. So Mona Lisa is number one. So what are the other four paintings that are the most difficult to see for the average tourist in a museum?
Well, I mean, I know it's large, but it always has a crowd, The Last Supper.
Yes, that is one.
Yeah.
Very good.
Guernica.
No.
Hmm.
So again, I'm looking for the list of the...
is this measured?
In terms of crowds, crowd size that they get on a consistent basis.
And you said these are paintings and not just...
They're all paintings.
They are paintings.
They're the five most famous paintings that have the largest crowds and the most difficult to see for an average tourist.
Starry Night?
Yes. Very good. And where is Starry Night?
I saw it in Chicago, but I assume it's in Amsterdam, right?
No, it's at the MoMA in New York City.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I saw it in a show here.
I guess it traveled around. Just so we have Mona Lisa at the Louvre, Starry Night at the MoMA, The Last Supper at the church in Milan. So there are two left on the list.
I'm just thinking aloud. Right. I say the water lilies, but there are so many of those that there are.
There are
many
a lot,
places,
yeah.
So
are spread around.
It's kind of an impossible answer.
Yeah, anything from the Gardens of Giverny would be...
No water lilies on this list.
Okay.
Not in the top five, anyway.
The Persistence of Memory?
No. They're extremely famous paintings, though.
What about Van Gogh's Self-Portrait?
No more Van Gogh.
No more Van Gogh. Okay.
And are they all... old masters or up to through impressionists, or are there any modern ones there?
No more modern than the end of the 19th century.
End of the 19th century.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, you said they're measured by crowds in front of them and not necessarily how big they are and how hard they are to see, right? Just
right.
The crowds?
And they're accessible, but they're just, I mean, they're accessible to, you can walk into a museum and see them, but they always have the largest crowds. Of
Girl with the Pearl Earring?
Yes, that's one.
And then what about Sunday in the Park?
No. Girl with the Pearl Earring is
liver.
in the Mauritius Gallery in the Hague. So, very good.
So have we got them all?
No, we have one left.
The Night Watch?
No. That has a crowd in front of it, you're right, but it's huge, so it's, in other words, you could be back a little ways and actually get a pretty good view of it. So
yeah, but that's why it's so hard to measure.
This
all
is
that.
The final painting is kind of small, but it's extremely famous, of course, but it's not big at all. So.
And then you said it's no later than the end of the 1800s.
It's no later than the beginning of the 20th century.
Oh, beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
So it could be an impressionist.
It could be.
Right. Oh, no, I'll leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have an answer to the EGOT question, I hope.
Okay.
Okay.
Miami Vice, Don Johnson.
No, it was the other. who actually has an EGOT? No, I'm not sure that he is even one quarter of the way there. I could be wrong.
No, no, the person who coined EGOT.
Oh, no, it was the other guy, Philip Michael Thomas.
Oh, really, Philip Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Okay, then I have a quick, if they didn't get that, I do have a question.
All right.
Who played left field for the Yankees before Tom Tresh?
You're asking the three wrong people.
Was it Don Johnson of Miami Vice?
You know, it's close, but no.
I do not know. But we can leave it out if you want and see, let somebody answer.
Absolutely.
All right. So ask the question once more, if you would.
Who played? He's pretty unknown because his contemporaries were very famous, of course, like Mantle and Maris. But before Tom Tresh, someone played left field for the New York Yankees,
okay.
This person. And I'll even give a clue. His first name is Bob.
That's a big clue. Okay. We'll leave it out.
All right. Fair enough.
Thank you.
You said no later than the end of the 20th century?
No, I said no later than the end of the 19th century.
Of the end of the
19th. I believe it was this painting was done right around that time. It's right in the turn of the century, between the 19th and the 20th. So.
What's it called? The Picnic.
Le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe?
No.
Or Renoir, the boating, whatever it is.
No, it's not a traditional French Impressionist painting. It's not. I mean, it's not from that school. I didn't say it wasn't Impressionist. I said it's not French. So.
Not French.
Could it?
Is it Dal? No.
No, it's surrealist. Sorry, don't mind me. Probably not anything Kandinsky. I don't think that would be a topic.
No, it's really more of a post-impressionist painting, but it's elements of impressionism in it.
Is it American?
No.
What's the woman descending a staircase?
It's not.
Or was it Woman in Gold, the Klimt painting?
No.
Oh, Adele.
Yeah, Adele Bauer
Adele
Block.
Bauer
Adele
Block.
Block Bauer. Yeah, that's
Block,
it.
Whatever. Yeah. No, not that. The Scream? Edvard Munch?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
It is The Scream. Very good. Excellent. Good job on that.
I made such a point to see that, too, when I was in Oslo.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. I didn't think of that.
Yes. So the five paintings that are hardest to see because of crowds are The Mona Lisa, Starry Night, The Last Supper, The Scream, and The Girl with the Pearl Earring. So... very good. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Leah Gargett, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. And I kind of forgot whose turn it was. Whose turn is it? Is it...
it's Kira's.
Kira, okay, it's your turn.
All right. What term, coined by cartoonist Mort Walker, refers to a string of usually typographical symbols used to represent swearing?
Oh...
oh,
we always
use
the comic strips. I think we did come up once a couple of years ago. Yeah.
And I don't remember what it
don't
is.
Don't feel bad, Kira. Everything gets repeated eventually. I think maybe Jerry asked that question. Or maybe not. Somebody asked it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, leading off that, we can leave that one open. There are 22 sovereign states that currently have national flags that incorporate text. Of these flags, 8 of them include text that is not written in a Latin script. Which flags or which countries have flags with text on them that are that where the text is not Latin script? So A, B, C, D.
Yeah, we know what Latin script.
Oh, at the beginning, you said. Oh, so when you say states, you actually meant
sovereign
countries.
States.
Sovereign
states.
Okay, all right.
Countries.
Because there's always somebody who's going to be upset if constituent countries aren't being counted as countries. So sovereign states.
So, and it's not written in Latin, in English, what we would consider English lettering or Latin.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Roman lettering.
Roman lettering. Well, then you would have to start with some of the Arabic or Middle Eastern countries. How about Iran?
Yep. They use a Kufic script,
right.
Arabic.
Right. I'll just leave it at that. Other people can guess that. I'm sure there's plenty
I have no idea.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over, hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And well, I got scooped by Leah on Girl with the Pearling and the Scream. I was
hanging oh, well, I'll give you a bell anyway. There you go.
But on the museum most visited, with it named after a person.
Yes.
How about Tate Modern?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Mm-mm.
It has to be named after a living person.
Yeah,
said.
It has to be a living person.
Oh, that's...
Thank you, Leah, for clarifying that.
All right. And the languages, did somebody already say try Korean?
Oh, right, the top 10 languages. Sorry. Nobody did, but I encourage you to try it.
How about Korean?
Yes, that is the next one down the list, yeah. 1.1 million speakers.
There you go.
And I have a question.
Yes.
What common everyday piece of equipment has a name that means little shadow?
So it's in a obviously another language from
yeah.
English.
Yes.
Is it an Asian language?
No.
Okay. So it's a common piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It's little shadow. How long is the name?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
8 letters. 8 letters.
Presumably ends in E-T-T-E?
Something like that.
Okay,
good
so E-T then.
No.
No?
Just vaguely, or vaguely, something like that.
Oh, so maybe E-L-L-E.
Huh. Okay.
If you know anything about...
An umbrella.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, good job.
Umbrella.
All right.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Bye.
And let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Carrie, you go first.
Okay. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 60 million Americans aged 5 and older speak a language other than English in their homes. What are the country's 10 most widely spoken non-English languages? And we already have Spanish, Chinese, French, Tagalog, Vietnamese, Korean, Russian, and Italian. So we're looking for two more. I am also missing the names of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the 12 EGOTers. And the term coined by cartoonist Mort Walker that refers to a string of usually typographical symbols used to represent swearing. And finally, the 7 of the 8 countries that have national flags that incorporate text that is not a Latin text. And we already have Iran.
Does the letter of the comic strip swearing, does that start with an S?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Oh, I wish I could remember. Is it Japanese one of the languages?
No. Japanese is 14th.
So. Oh.
Oh, and Leah, yes. What do you have?
Okay. I have what are what comes in these varieties? Evergreen, dryland, and mountain eye? And who said this about whom? Only two of them have talent. The rest are just unfriendly.
Hmm. Is that it for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what is the most visited museum in the world that is named after a living person? It's one of the top 10 most visited museums. What is the most visited museum in the world, and is not in the United States, that is named after a living person? It's an art museum. And of all the tourist slogans that countries adopt all across the world, what is the most common word? If you all translate it in English. So of all the tourist slogans of all the countries of the world, what is the most common word you find? And I'm not talking about the and a, that sort of thing. It's a descriptive word.
Can I take another crack at this evergreen, dryland, mountain eye?
Yeah.
What about rice?
Nope.
Or coffee?
That's
nope.
Good. That's okay. Good. Yeah, mm-hmm. Coffee, that's good. I like that.
Is the museum named after a royal?
Could be.
Is it the Queen Margareta or whatever? Is that a royal in from
that's
Denmark?
A royal, but that's not it.
Okay, let's go through them. So who else has royals? The King Juan Carlos doesn't have a museum, or the Queen Sophia?
Yes, I'll give it to you. It's the Reina Sofia Museum.
Okay, well, that's and close enough.
Who's the? Oh, who's actually the former queen of Spain? Since they
yeah,
abdicated.
His son
Philippe is now the king, but it's the Reina Sofia.
Is she called the Dowager Queen?
I guess so.
Like that?
Something like that. So there you go. Very good. All right. Ask you a question. So I'm going to give you each state, or I'm sorry, each country, as I alluded to earlier, has their own tourist slogan. So I'm going to give you, these are all in the Americas. So it could be North America, Central America, or South America, okay? So these are all in the Americas. Keep that in mind. I want you to tell me the country involved with these tourist slogans. Number one is keep exploring. Number two is the heart of the Mayan world. So it's not Canada.
Rhode Island?
Yeah, exactly. Number three is, and I love this, is the 45-minute country. Number four is magical realism. Number five is live it to believe it. And number six is all within your reach. So again, these are all in the Americas. These are different countries in the Americas. It could be North America, Central America, or South America. Match them up with the right country. Number one, keep exploring. Number two, heart of the Mayan world. Number three, the 45-minute country. Number four, magical realism. Number five, live it to believe it. Number six, all within your reach. I'll give you two guesses.
Is keep exploring Canada?
It is. Very good. Oh, that bland Canadian.
They got a lot of land up there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The heart of the Mayan world.
Right.
Is it Panama?
Not Panama. You're on the right track.
Oh, could it be Guatemala, though?
It is Guatemala. Yes. Heart of the Mayan world. So we're still looking for the 45-minute country, magical realism, live it to believe it, and all within your reach. So
is magical realism Mexico?
No. So these are all North America, Central America, or South America. Keep that in mind. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Well, I have a few guesses for those languages that are spoken in America.
Okay.
Okay, I know there's two out there. I have five guesses. I hope that's okay. But one is Arabic.
Yes, that's number eight.
Yeah, very good.
Uh-huh. Okay, and another one, Hindi?
No, that just off the list at 12.
Well, alternatively, Urdu?
Farther down the list at 15.
I'm thinking Bengali.
Even farther down the list at 19.
One more guess, Persian.
Back up the list, but still not on it. That's 16.
I want to tell you guys something, though. It's well worth standing in line to see the girl with the pearl earring. I saw her here in America. She was over here on a tour in San Francisco. And when I saw the real thing, which has been refurbished fairly recently, tears came to my eyes. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, it is
so
beautiful.
It's worth standing to see her.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Ah, good evening. How are you all doing? This is Sparky Man here, Alderman.
Good.
Non-Latin language on a flag. How about Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
Those little symbols to denote cursing, I think they're called like fertiles.
Nope.
Okay. Maddie says Polish as a spoken language in the U.S.
No, it's, again, just off the list, number 13.
Hmm. Okay, EGOTs. Richard Rogers, the first one, in fact.
He is the first one. 1962 completed his.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, 2002.
And Mel Brooks.
Yes. Bless your heart, 2001.
Yay.
Okay,
and I'm going to recuse you on this one, Kira, because this was asked last night. But for Dana and Leah, there was a question, a great question, what U.S. state has two antonyms that's separated by a vowel?
The name of the state, you mean?
The name of the state.
So there's only one vowel?
Yeah.
Well, there might be vowels in either antonym.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's one vowel right through.
I'm going to have to think this through. Leah, get this immediately.
While they're thinking, Sparky, why don't you take another crack at the non-Latin script? Because I bet you can get at least one more.
Okay, non-Latin script. India.
Nope.
Or, Bangladesh.
No, not Bangladesh.
Pakistan.
Nope.
Sri Lanka.
Nope. You guys are on the right track. You're going with some correct languages.
Sri Lanka.
Nope.
Somalia.
I'll point out that we have Iran.
How about Iraq?
There we go.
There you go.
That's one.
All right. Do you want to work on it?
This is a joke. Carolina, because one is car and one is liner.
Yeah, right.
All right, what is it, Sparky?
It's my home state, Connecticut.
Okay. All right. I hear Maddie laughing in the background. All right.
I should in the middle, connect and cut.
Very good.
Oh.
Okay, we're done.
Thank you, Sparky.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Larry in Fremont.
Hi, Larry.
I have a couple of guesses. Country, India, on the flag?
No, they have a Dharma wheel, but they don't have any text.
Okay, tourist slogan word, beautiful?
Yes, that is it. Very good. The most popular word, single word, for tourist slogans around the world is beautiful.
Okay.
Good job.
Tourist destination, love it to believe it, live it to believe it, Mexico.
That is correct, Mexico.
And I have a couple of guesses on languages. German?
That is the one we are missing.
Really?
Yep, number seven.
Okay, and I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
I have one TV question. Three shows that ended their run number one in the Nielsen ratings.
Not in a general way, not just because of this last episode.
Right.
Okay.
I'll still go with Seinfeld and MASH, like the top.
Right.
Three different decades.
Is Cheers one?
No.
Okay. And Kira said Seinfeld and MASH, so it's not neither one of those?
None of those.
Really?
You need the older shows.
Okay. And they were number one in the ratings.
Probably not the
Cosby. Ended their run number one in the Nielsen ratings.
Okay. Was Cosby Show one of them?
No.
Okay.
Were they all... How about I Love Lucy?
I Love Lucy was the oldest one, yes.
Okay. And so they're all different decades, so there's nothing else in the 50s, so they're... Is
right.
How about the Beverly Hillbillies?
No.
All in the Family?
That's good.
No.
What are the other decades?
Looks like I think it's 70s and 90s.
Oh, Friends.
Yes.
Good. Then so 70s.
Did Mary Tyler Moore end in the 70s?
That's good.
Mary Tyler Moore?
I don't know if that was ever number one.
No, but that's a good guess.
What kind of comedy was the, or a comedy, what kind of show was the one that we're missing?
It was not a drama.
It was not a drama. But you're not saying it was a comedy?
Yeah, sort of a comedy, yeah.
Kind of a comedy.
I'm just going to keep guessing All in the Family then, which is was it still
Laughing?
Not right.
That's not bad. Laughing?
No.
It's 70s. Yeah, I did it in the 70s, you're right.
I believe it's 70s. I'm not sure.
No, kind of a comedy. No, don't know.
Okay. You want me to give it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Andy Griffith.
Oh.
Oh. Late 60s. Ended late 60s, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Close enough.
That's good.
Okay, so I've got two geography questions.
All right.
Okay. Oh, okay. What nations have not adopted the metric system?
We. Us.
Okay, you got
this great land of ours that's becoming greater.
Is Japan one of them?
No.
But somewhere in Asia.
Two smaller countries.
Yeah, we're one. Now. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so the United States is one. And then the other one.
Smaller countries, two different continents.
Yeah, one's in Africa and one's in Asia, I believe, right?
Correct.
Yeah. That's as far as I'm going to get.
Yeah. Asia.
Yeah, it's like Bhutan, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, like, we don't. We just be guessing.
Okay, do you want those?
Yeah, we've only got about 8 minutes left, so you better. You better give them to us.
Myanmar is the one in Asia.
Okay.
And Liberia is the one in Africa.
So,
it's nice to know we're right.
We're in good company, aren't we?
And finally,
but they probably don't have the death penalty. No, Myanmar.
What was the last? I'm sorry.
What nation has 11 official languages?
Oh.
South Africa?
Yes, you got it.
Right, okay.
And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a quick call if you like. The number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hey.
Hi, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Jennifer from Victor from Oakland. The one about the two had talent and the rest were what was it mean?
That was your question, Leah, about the quote.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Was that Judy Garland about the Munchkins?
No.
I like that answer. That's a good answer.
No, it's funny. If you stay listening, you'll realize why it's funny.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, that's us. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Yes, I am. It's Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Currently in North Beach. I got beat out on the screen. And yeah, that's right. And I'm curious, do we have all the 10 languages spoken in the home?
Yes.
Have all 10?
All 10, yes.
And so Italian was somewhere on the list, yes?
Italian was, it was number 10.
Okay, and just about that again, what about American Sign Language? Do they include that? Is that on the list?
That's an interesting point.
No, it was not included. I believe that there are numbers for that. They just weren't included in this particular list.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. On the EGOT, how about David Bowie?
No, not David Bowie.
Or Tom Waits?
No.
Neil Young? No? No?
No. Okay. I wouldn't say that any of the people left on the list are mostly known for being musicians. Well, for the most part, yeah. One Broadway writer... But no, like rock musicians.
Okay, I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you. And so Richard Rodgers was on the list. Mm-hmm. How about Oscar Hammerstein?
No. Okay. No, just Rodgers.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? You there? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, am I on?
You are.
Oh, okay. This is Pat from El Cerrito.
Hi, Pat.
I wanted to check and see if anybody got the answer to the Yankee left fielder question. I was in shopping for a moment.
It has not been gotten yet, so feel
okay,
free.
Okay, well, first of all, full disclosure, I did a little bit of research, but I recognized the era, so I knew that when I saw Bob Serve's name come up, that it was him. So it was Serve with a C-E-R-V spelling, I think.
Thank you very much for getting that.
And by the way, he was the one that, the story goes, was sitting on the bench one afternoon in 1960 with Casey Stengel, and Casey told him, there's something that no one else but you and I know in New York, and one of us has been traded to Kansas City.
Thank
anyway,
you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have a guess.
Yes.
Idaho. For that state with the vowel in the middle. And two antonyms on the...
I'll give you a bell for that. That's not the state that that Sparky had in mind. It was Connecticut, but I like Idaho, too.
Maybe that's homonyms. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Just to complete the answer, I had New Horizon travels at almost more than 16 kilometers per second. So it's like traveling from Berkeley to San Francisco in less than a second. It would take 680,000 years to go to this new planetary system. Tell you how vast this universe of ours is. And this is supposed to be one of our nearest system of planets. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And
next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom in Oakland, but I'm in San Diego. So.
That's okay.
Hello?
Okay. No, we forgive you.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Trump hasn't signed an executive order against us yet?
No, not yet.
All right. Okay, so some EGOT question. EGOT stuff. How about Whoopi Goldberg?
Yes, she is on the list.
Yeah, Bob Dylan?
Nope.
Frank Sinatra?
Nope.
Meryl Streep?
No.
Gabby Hayes?
Nope. there's a Hayes, but not Gabby.
Yeah. Oh. Isaac Hayes?
No.
Oh, Helen. He did win an Oscar.
Helen.
Yeah. Helen Hayes, that's right.
Hayes. Helen Hayes, Rutherford, okay. And the only two have talents in the restaurant friendly, is that Oliver Wendell Holmes about the PBA?
No.
That's a good.
All right, the artists with the living artists, how about Murakami in Japan?
For which?
For the visited museum.
They got all those. That was the Van Gogh, Dali, and Picasso.
Okay, the flags with the names, how about Brazil?
Nope. It's flags with script that is not with Latin, it's script.
I'll guess Brazil, Argentina, Iraq?
Iraq was on the list. Somebody got that earlier, but yes.
Oh, shoot. Kazakhstan?
Nope.
Okay, that's it. I'm out.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
We're having delicious craft beer and listening to your show.
Oh, great.
And I have a question for you guys.
Does the beer help?
I'm sorry?
Does the beer help?
Sure, it always does.
Okay, good.
It's all local. That's awesome. But question for you guys. Yes. Napoleon Bonaparte had many quotes, but what was his favorite quote before war, before he would go to war?
His favorite quote before he went to battle? He went into the battle.
Battle, yes, battle. Thank you.
Is it accurate. Tell Josephine not to wash? Or is that what coming back? I'm not even kidding about that.
No. Yeah, that
was on the way back. Yep. Okay, sorry.
No, he had many amazing quotes, but his favorite one before he went into battle, which we should apply to our daily life, he used to say it every time before he went into battle.
I hate to be a killjoy, but you better tell us because we've only got like a little over a minute left. I don't know.
Nobody wants to try?
We don't know.
Okay, dress me slowly. I'm in a hurry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Cheers.
Time to clean up. Okay, what do we got?
Oh, real quick, is magical realism Argentina?
It is not.
Okay. In that case, the people with EGOTs, John Gielgud, Audrey Hepburn, Jonathan Tunick, Mike Nichols, Scott Rudin, and Robert Lopez. The rest of the flags are Afghanistan, Brunei, Egypt, South Korea, and Mongolia. And the term that represents swearing is a Grawlix.
Growl, okay, good.
The best actor award twice, Jose Ferrer, best actor in musical twice, Zero Mostel, best actress in a play twice, Shirley Booth, and thanks to Ed. The three things, evergreen, dry land, and mountain Iowa blueberries. And the quote was said by Billy Wilder about the Hollywood 10.
Oh, okay. 45-minute country is El Salvador, and the magical realism is Colombia. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Thanks for listening to our show tonight. Kira Pace, thank you very much. Leah Gargic from the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latalip and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And, of course, above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. If it ain't gross, it's net.
gotta be this or that. If it ain't this, you can't miss it.
KLW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, which invites you to a conversation with Samantha Power, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who played a significant role in standing up to Russian aggression, securing the release of political prisoners, and rallying global responses to the refugee crisis. She will discuss the state of the world, the war on truth, and the continuing need for human rights. Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. Information at jccsf.org/arts. 2 hours of new and classical music next with Revolutions Per Minute and Sarah Cahill, followed by slow music for fast times, music from the hearts of space from 10 to midnight. All ahead here on Local Public Radio, 91.7 FM, KLW San Francisco.